The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The crowd came together again, so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven, but is guilty of eternal sin. For they have said he has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, he sent to them and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, bless the reading, the hearing, and the interpretation of your holy word this morning, so that we may be people who live in the hope to the glory of your name. Amen. Please be seated. As you can see from the bulletin, our gospel text appointed for this Sunday is drawn from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. And common to Mark's writing, scenes and characters change very rapidly within just a few verses. So in order to get the full breadth and depth of today's gospel lesson, we have to hit the rewind button on the DVD player. Okay, excuse me, Blu-ray player. And start with verse 7. Because starting with verse 20, as we did, the crowd came together again, kind of feels sort of abrupt, like, why? So starting at chapter 3, verse 7 and following, "Jesus departed with his disciples to the lake, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea to Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan and the region around Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so much that they would not crush him, for he had cured many, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him and be healed. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, 'You are the Son of God.' But in verse 12, he sternly ordered them not to make him known." And then in verse 13, he goes up to the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted to be around, and they came to him.
And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him, and to be sent out to proclaim the message, and have authority to cast out demons. And he appointed the 12 Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, that is, the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean. And verse 19, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And then verse 19 concludes, and then he went home. Which seems a bit odd, because most of the time Jesus is on the road with his disciples visiting one town after another. But from our scripture that we just listened to, it's obvious that a lot of stuff has just gone down. He's healed before. He now appoints the 12. He's tired. We go home. We go home to relax. Nonetheless, he returns, presumably, to Nazareth, since his mother and siblings appear in the story straight away. However, when he arrives, two things take place. First, the area is so jammed, and people are pressing in on him again, that he could not even eat. So we have this deep hunger that underwrites the confusion and tension that is to follow in our gospel passage. Second, Jesus' own family, out of great affection and also from the misunderstandings that loved ones often have when their beloved goes on a limb for God, well, you know, they don't say, here comes our relative of ours who is doing great things and is helping so many people and has been through so much. No, when he arrives, they misunderstand what he is doing and they try to restrain him, fearing that he is mentally disturbed. So in this way, they join the ranks with Jesus' critics in the following verse who interpret his startling feats and miracles as mere demon possession. Opening the gospel text with the family and then closing the passage with them again forms this neat kind of sandwich. And I'm interested in the roles that Jesus' family play because they often, as others do, misunderstand who he is and what his purposes are. Now, I want you to just, if you're comfortable, close your eyes for a second and picture the following story in the lieu of today's news. For example, when Mary and Joseph trigger an Amber Alert, after losing Jesus for 12 hours after shopping at the mall, only to find him in the temple teaching, what does he say? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? Or during the wedding feast at Cana, Jesus' mother, Mary, notes that the wedding party has run out of wine. To which Jesus responds, woman, my time has not come, but then changes the water into wine anyway, while Mary instructs the stewards to do whatever he asks of you. Please do it. You may open your eyes if you haven't done so already. And then there's James, Jesus' brother. Like, seriously gets dissed in this gospel passage this morning. Who are my brothers? And yet is one who becomes a great believer and leader in the early church, along with Mary, Jesus' mother. What greater evidence could there be that Jesus really was whom the gospel writers claim that he was? Yet among all his family commotion, Jesus appeared to have a really, really close relationship with his mother. Luke's gospel certainly views her as a model disciple that we should emulate. And in the gospel of John, Mary is shown at the foot of Jesus' cross. Jesus responds to Mary's grief and need, and he provides for Mary by placing her in the care of his beloved disciple, John, asking John to treat her as his own mother. Jesus, in many ways, has a very traditional and close relationship, yet tenuous relationship with his family. However, in today's gospel passage, we see how Jesus makes relative and then radicalizes the notion of what we would consider family. And I'm really glad that this gospel passage this year lands between the sandwich of Mother's Day and Father's Day. Because in some years, this gospel passage, according to when Easter occurs, happens on Mother's Day or Father's Day. Because in the gospel passage, do Mary and her children get ushered up to the front in today's story? No. In contrast, Jesus embraces everyone among him as his family, as if to shun his own. But to Jesus' point, in God, we are a new kind of family. Christianity is in the business of constantly redefining family through the concept of community, inclusive of our biological families or not. A concept we know well within this church, a concept that is known well in the queer community, the foster community, the refugee community, the homeless community, and let's not forget the asylum seekers sitting in prison near the border of the U.S.-Mexico border. We too may have been grown from a dysfunctional and quite awful, painful circumstance. And it's then God gifts us through all that with this spiritual family that we wished we had. Here we are. I mean, there are a number of people in this congregation, including myself, who are dealing or who have dealt with damage done to them by family. Some of it resolved, some not. There are folks who also remember the happy and joyous times of childhood and early adulthood, while others deal with the sad things that happen to those who love us. Truly, they did love us, but did not know or were never taught themselves how to treat us properly. None of it justified or condemned by the authority of Scripture. None of it justified or condemned by the authority of this church. Today's gospel challenges us to rethink how this church can be a family for everyone, and how some of our family members get it and sometimes don't. We find ourselves in a fortunate time in the coming summer months. Possibly for you, these few months that lie ahead offer a slower time, a time for reflection, a time for meditation, a time for this kind of holy idleness, if you would. which enables us to recognize the gracious and loving presence of God, who, as our heavenly parent, is always awaiting our call, awaiting our touch, awaiting our outreach. In closing, I offer a poem from Jenny Child entitled, From Beginning to End. From the rising of the sun to its setting, you guide us from our birth to our death. You comfort us in our grief and in our sorrow, in our joy and in our celebration. You uplift us from our beginnings of our lives to our ending. Forever, you encompass us with your love, and for that, we are grateful. Amen.